Offensive line coach for the New England Patriots, Dante Scarnecchia. Dante, good morning. John, Jerry, and Kirk here. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Good morning to you guys.
How did you come to the realization? When did it happen? When did the light come on and said, you know what, 30 is enough?
Well, I think it's been something that I've considered, you know, actually over the last couple of years as you get into your 60s and for in my case, into the mid-60s. I'm 3 weeks away from being 66.
Mm-hmm.
I just said, you know, okay, look, I could keep going, and I feel great, and I love the game and all the rest of it, but you know, at some point, and I've always told this to the offensive linemen whenever we've lost a guy out of our meeting room who we all, you know, felt pretty strong about, that the game's not forever. It's not forever for the players. It's not forever for the coaches. And I'm just another example of that. You know, at some point it's going to end, whether it's at 66 or 68 or 70 or whatever. And, you know, I have a lot of things that I like to do in my life, and I haven't been able to do those things at least through 6 months of the year. And lately, in the last 3 years, you know, even longer than that, because we go so hard in the spring with all the spring scouting and the drafts and the OTAs and all the rest of it. So this is a good time for me. It really is.
Dante, we talked to Tom on Monday, and he was referencing the abruptness of how if you don't win the last game, everything comes to a screeching halt and it lands or ends with a thud. Are you preparing for the thud where you don't have to get up and report to the facility and do all the stuff you've been doing for 30 years?
Yeah, I think I am. And I think I'm prepared for it. You know, it's not like, at the end of the year after the final game, we get, you know, whatever it is, 10 days off. And you get a chance to, you know, re-energize, recharge, all the rest of it, and then you get going again. I am honestly not concerned about having things to do and keeping myself busy at all. My brother-in-law Joe Grauman pretty much said it very succinctly when he said I came home from work midday Saturday during the season, and I immediately grabbed a rake, and I was out there raking leaves. And he said, "You're just like a shark, man. If you stop swimming, you're going to die." And that's how I am. You know, I can look at a wall and say, well, that thing needs paint. Or I can look at a yard and say, man, I think I need to get out there and do that. And I'm not worried about it.
Why, Dante, you spent a cup of coffee as a head coach here when Dick McPherson got ill, I believe. Why were you never a head coach again? You are the most respected assistant coach, the most acclaimed assistant coach I've ever seen in my life. Why was there not another stint as a head coach?
Well, I think of a number of things, Jerry. One is I am only an assistant coach. I was never a coordinator. I was a special teams coach, and you know the track record for that isn't very good. And the second thing is I never had an agent. The third thing is, and I really believe this, I'm not upset at all about it, is when you stop talking to the press and don't put yourself out there, then you're not promoting yourself. And that's okay. Believe me, that's okay. I'm fine with that. I will never look back on this career, our career, and say, hey, you know, I'd have done this to be a head coach. It is what it is, and I'm very, very content with what it's been. Believe me, I'm very content.
You are so different because we go through coaches' resumes all the time, and they just change jobs every year, and they move from East Coast to West Coast. We always wonder, how do their families deal with it? And I know you've had a few jobs. Hell, you were Iowa State guy, just like both of the head coaches in the Super Bowl, but you don't have that same – you're not a nomad. You're not a drifter like most coaches. Was that a decision you just made one day or – you know, with your family said, I'm not going to drag your asses all over the country for the next 30 years. I want to stay here. And you did.
Right. I think it's a combination of a number of things. One is that for some unbelievable and unexplainable reason, when we lost a coach out of here, I was able to stay on with the coach that was coming in. And I don't know how to explain that. When Parcells came in here, I did not know Bill Parcells at all. And for some reason, three guys that he was bringing in spoke up on my behalf, said, hey, I ought to keep this guy. And I was fortunate to be kept on there. Pete Carroll, I had coached with at the University of the Pacific, so I knew Pete. I didn't know Dick McPherson. I didn't know Raymond Berry. We didn't know each other than, you know, spending that half year with him and all the rest of it. And so, but there were a couple times where I was able to say, you know, And it was to when Parcells went to the Jets. He says, "Hey, you know, he asked me if I would come along." And I said, "You know, we got this daughter. She's almost out of high school, and I can't do that. And this is home, you know. And I was able to stay with Pete, and you know, and keep staying. And as a result of it, our kids have been raised here. They don't talk like New Englanders, thank God, but they think they're from here, and that's a great thing."
Dante, in a phrase or in a word, what would you say your coaching approach or philosophy was? And the second part of that question is, what would be the one unbreakable rule that Dante Scarnecchia holds every one of his players accountable for that you can't break if you're going to play for you?
Well, the answer to the first question is, I think probably the word that comes to my mind is honest. You know, you have to be forthright with these guys. I know this about pro players is, and I know this about any players, is pro players want to be coached. They want to be coached. They want to be told how to do their job as good as they can do it, because if they do their job as good as they can do it, they get to stay. And everyone wants to stay in pro football. And so you have to be forthright. You have to be honest with them. You can't sugarcoat anything. You just got to let them know exactly what you expect. And if the expectations aren't being made, then usually, I hate to use this word, conflict ensues. And so all of a sudden, you know, you get in one of those deals. But that's worth getting in to get them to play the way you want them to play. I already forgot what the second part of that was.
What is the unbreakable rule? What gets me kicked out of Dante Scarnecchia's meeting room?
Well, I think, you know, the number one thing is, you know, you got to pay attention. You have to know what's going on there. And you have to, this is one thing that really would, I guess, set me off. I hate to use that word but is that if you don't take what's being imparted to you in the meeting room, and then you go, and 20 minutes later we're on the field, and it's not what it's supposed to be, I guess I would have a hard time with that. So taking what's been given to them in the meeting room and then applying it to the practice field and ultimately to the game field and the game situations, those are the things that are most important to us.
Ever since yesterday when we determined you were going to come on with us today, I've been dying to ask you this question. If you wouldn't mind, compare and contrast Logan Mankins and John Hanna. And are they the two best you've coached?
Well, I never coached John Hanna.
Oh, you didn't?
I was here with him. I was the
Oh, that's right, your special teams, right.
And but I watched John play and practice. There's a huge, huge comparison between the two. They are as tough as they come. I mean, as absolutely tough as they come. When you would see Logan on the ground like we saw him, I think it was in the Colt game, you look out there and say, oh, shoot, this guy's hurt, man. This guy is hurt. And come off the field the way he came off, and then all of a sudden I turned around maybe 5 minutes later and he's standing next to me. I'm saying, oh, my God, this guy's going back in. And John was exactly the same way. You know, I remember John playing against it's either Marty Lyons or Abdul Salam in the New York Sack Exchange with his left arm taped to his chest because he had a bad shoulder. It was taped to his chest. And he played the game essentially with one arm. And so I had to ask him, you know, John, how are you able to play this game with one arm? And he said, well, you know, you only need your inside hand and pass protection. So I was like, geez, okay, John, that's great. But, John's the greatest of all time, and Logan's had an unbelievable career, and he's as tough as they come, and I think we all appreciate him for all the things that he is.
I think Dick McPherson's the best guy that you ever worked for, Dante, but I don't know who the best coach is. Is it Bill Belichick? Is he the best head coach you worked for?
Yeah, he is. There's no doubt about it. He's an extraordinary head coach, Jerry. He's very, very tough. He's forthright. I think he has a way. You'll never be able to experience this, but if you ever sat in our squad meetings and listened to the way he, you know, teaches how he wants the game played every week, particular to the opponent that we're playing, you would have a tremendous appreciation for the way this guy is. He doesn't leave any stones unturned. I think he's a very easy guy to work for because you always know what he wants. You always know what the vision is. and all you have to do is you know, give him what he wants, and then it becomes easy. If you don't give him what he wants, then it can get a little rough. He's always defined that our program is not an easy program to be part of, and it isn't, because there's a lot demanded of them. But you know, they all listen and they all buy into it, and those that don't, you know, have a hard time.
He was an easy guy to work for. Who was the toughest guy to work for?
You know, I never really had a problem working with any of them. I thought they were all great. You know, I take from every coach I've worked for, and I'll only use reference New England in that regard, from Ron Meyer, who I came here with, you know, until Bill Belichick, Pete Carroll, Dick McPherson, Raymond Berry. I've learned something from every one of those guys, every one of those guys. And I appreciate all that they've done for me and all that they've taught me.
Hey, Dante, if Richard Sherman played for the Patriots and did what he did on Sunday, would Bill's head explode?
Well, I don't know. I don't think that, you know, that that's – oh, man, this is tough. I really like Richard Sherman. Mm-hmm. I love the way he plays. I think he's a great player. And I don't have any problem with his outspokenness. I thought he was very selfish, and he admitted
right.
that he was very selfish the other day. And I think that type of behavior would be one thing that, you know, I don't want to speak for Bill, but I think that, you know, there would be words said, you know, hey, look, you can't do this. And I suspect that Pete, knowing Pete, did the same thing to him after the game. You know, you can't talk that way. You know, you're putting yourself ahead of the team, because Pete's a team guy. You know, he really is.
Are you rooting for Pete, Dante?
I love Pete, you know, and I wish nothing but good things for him. I think he's a great, great football coach. And, you know, I know John Fox and, you know, what he's overcome this year. I think it's going to be a great game. And, I would like whoever's going to win is going to win, and it's great for them both. And I'm not going to take one side or the other. You know, I'm an AFC guy, but I like Pete because of all the things he is and the way he represents the game.
Yeah, we do too. Hey, last question from me, Dante. You got out of Case Western University 38 years ago. Was that 48? Yeah, that's 48 years ago. I'm sorry to date you here. But with a degree in phys ed, you played offensive line for Case Western.
Whoa, Cal Western.
I'm sorry. I'm looking right at it. Cal Western. And and you were in the U.S. Marine Corps Reserve. I mean, you were just the definition of a tough guy, a modest guy, an old school guy. Did you ever think you'd get rich doing this? Because I'm just going to assume after all these years in the NFL that you've socked away a few bucks.
Well, we have, and I have my wife to thank for that. But I wouldn't define ourselves as rich. We're rich in family and rich in friends, and along the way, we've been able to sock a few nickels away. We have our house in Rhode Island that we're going to spend a lot of time at, and we have our house here in Renton. We ain't leaving now. New England's our home, and we got these two little knucklehead grandkids, one of whom we're going to babysit today. And so, yeah, we're rich in a lot of ways, you know, and we're not dirty rich like some of these other guys. We're okay.
Did you think you were
not rich like you guys?
Oh yeah.
Did you think you were going to be a gym teacher? What did you think you were going to be?
I thought honestly I would be a high school football coach, because that's what I wanted to be, just like those guys at Montebello High School, who were great mentors to me as a 16-year-old kid in high school, and that taught me the game. And that's why I wear that hat with an M on it. Brady thinks it's a Michigan hat because it's blue and gold, and Dane Fletcher thinks it's a Montana State hat, and it's neither. It's Montebello High School. And that's what I thought I would be. And amazingly, I never taught one day in high school, although I got my degree and my teaching credential on a master's, and never taught one day in high school, never coached one day in high school. And, you know, maybe the journey would have been more fulfilled had I.
Dante, we'll get you out of here on this. You said there are a number of things you're looking forward to doing because you haven't been able to do them because of your coaching responsibilities. What kind of things are we talking about? Traveling or carpentry or what?
Hobbies that I really like to do. You know, I'm an ocean guy from Southern California, so I have a stand-up paddleboard, and I paddle all over the ocean in Narragansett and ride the surf. And I love to play golf. I'm not very good at it, but I love to play, and I only play for, you know, maybe 6 or 8 weeks during the summer. Now I get to play a lot longer, and I have a shop in the back of our garage. It's a big shop. It's It's a man cave with every kind of saw and drill press and sander that you could ever want, and I love to immerse myself in what's in there and the things I like to do. I like to work in the yard, and I like to take care of my body, so I'm going to be doing all those things.
Dante, congratulations on a stellar career. Every one of our texters says class act, and I've heard you referred to as a class act from about a million people now, and I concur very, very much. Congratulations on a great career. We'll run into you down the road.
Thank you very much.
Dante Scarnecchia with Dennis and Callahan on the 8th.